This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I appreciate all of you tuning in to the weekend edition. I also appreciate all the comments and emails I got throughout the week, with everybody weighing in on, so far as I'm recording this, what has been already a fairly boring and slow week. But we did see some interesting earnings results come out that we did cover throughout the week. I am kicking off this show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report, also a regular on our show. Now, Jesse, one thing that you and I were talking about off mic is the balance between a mania and a bubble. We talk a lot about the U.S. markets and how their valuations have gotten so extended and how this bull market has run for almost a decade now. And we keep on hearing this term called everything bubble, but there needs to be a distinction made between a mania and a actual bubble. Can you share some of your thoughts on what the difference is between these two, please?
Yeah, and there are two terms that are just thrown around interchangeably, and I really think it's important to make a distinction. A bubble, to me, was defined by Jeremy Grantham, back probably during the dot-com mania. Before that, he studied bubbles throughout history to come up with this definition. Essentially, it's a valuation that is two standard deviations above its long-term average. And so that's something that should only happen 5% of the time in the markets. And so to me, that makes sense. You know, 5 out of every 100 years, you'll see prices go to this kind of an extreme. We saw it at the peak of the dot-com mania, and I'm looking at, you know, basically the Buffett yardstick to use this kind of definition. And today we're seeing it again, where the stock market trades at about the total value of equities in the United States are equal to 140% of GDP. Really only during the dot-com mania is the only other time we've seen that kind of an extreme. But I think it's important to point out, too, that a bubble is usually driven by some sort of a mania. And a mania is essentially overly enthusiastic type of attitude or thinking that allows people to believe something that's, you know, typically believed to be impossible or is mathematically impossible. During the dot-com mania, people believed that no matter what price they paid for these dot-com internet stocks, that they were going to create a fortune by just buying and holding these things, because the internet represented a revolutionary new technology that was going to mint all kinds of new millionaires and whatnot. And, you know, obviously that proved to be an absolute false belief, where you know, it did matter what price you paid, and 90% of these companies actually ended up going out of business that were the kind of the focus of that speculation. And I think there's two different false beliefs today driving the current mania. Michael Burry from The Big Short fame recently called passive investing a bubble. I would kind of basically distinguish that, yes, the stock market is a bubble being driven by a mania surrounded that's kind of focused on passive investing. And the impossible belief there is that no matter what price I pay for these passive index funds, I'm going to get a historic rate of return. That's part of it. And that's, you know, patently false. The price you pay determines the rate of your return. That's the iron law in the market. So if you're paying an extreme valuation, extreme price today, you're going to get a much lower than the historic rate of return in the stock market. But the other side of that is the belief that the market always comes back. And this is something that the market has essentially drilled into people's heads since the 1987 crash, where the market came back in less than 12 months. Dot-com mania stocks crashed, prices came back. After the financial crisis, it only took 2 years or something after the bottom for prices to regain all of their losses. And then, of course, we've seen it with every correction in the past 10 years, where stocks have come ripping, you know, straight back and recovered all their gains. Most notably, the end of last year, we had a steep sell-off, and we recovered all of those losses and then some so far this year. So this belief that the stock market will always come back is kind of behind people's confidence in putting money to work in passive investments. The other side of that is that, the corporate buybacks have obviously been one of the huge drivers of stock market returns in the last 10 years. And I think that the mania there on the part of corporate executives is that it's their number one job to do whatever it takes to prop up the share price in the short run, to reward shareholders in the short run, even if that means hollowing out the balance sheets like they've done over the past 10 years through taking on massive amounts of new debt. And to me, these two false beliefs, for them to be disproved, as happens after every bubble, it's going to take a long period of time for the market to not come back. And potentially that'll be related to the long-term hollowing out of these balance sheets, really kind of sacrificing the long-term health of these companies to support the short-term stock price and enrich the executives in the short run.
Okay, these false beliefs are crucial to this whole concept and really the support that the market gets. Now, one being the investors' belief that the markets will come back because, in all fairness, they have over the last few market crashes. Yeah, that just takes time, and that also just takes the market not coming back and people, unfortunately, solidifying some losses. But when it comes to the buybacks and corporations, this is a trend we're seeing, and in all fairness, a trend that I don't necessarily see changing because of, one, we're not seeing capital expense or capital spending in the part of corporations, probably because the world is growing so slowly. And two, we're also seeing low interest rates, and interest rates are staying quite low. What's going to change here to get companies maybe not buying back their shares?
Well, they've borrowed so much money. I mean, Howard Marks was just talking about it this week. They've borrowed so much money, and it's all gone to mergers and acquisitions and mostly buybacks, that you reach the point where you can't borrow any more money. I mean, since 2012 or 13, I think the last 6 years, companies have spent more than they've earned in terms of cash flow for 6 years now. Typically, I mean, that can only be sustainable for a couple of years. And they've made up the difference by issuing tons of debt. I think McDonald's is a really good example here, where you look at the balance sheet, and 10 years ago they had $10 billion of debt. Today they have over $30 billion of debt. And they've bought $40 billion worth of their own stock, and it's trading at the highest valuation in the company's history. Go back to the 70s, and McDonald's stock has never traded at a higher valuation, even close to it, than it does today. And that's largely just a function of the company borrowing $20 plus billion dollars to boost the stock price over the last 3, 4, 5 years. And so, the question is, Is this good thing for the company in the long run? And I would argue that it's not. If you had been borrowing that money to invest in, new locations or what have you, or technology, then terrific. That's going to be a good thing for the business. But when it all just goes to financial engineering, it's not so great. And one other thing I'd just point out is that, people in America, who are investing in the United States stock market obviously believe the market always comes back. But we recently hit 140% of GDP, the total value of the stock market. That's exactly the same number Japan hit in 89-90 when that market peaked. And today that stock market is almost 40% below its level of 30 years ago. Our market is just as overvalued as that one was back 30 years ago. Why can't that happen here? And I would suggest that, a lot of this financial engineering for short-term gains at the cost of the long-term health of all American businesses makes that a much more significant possibility than anybody's really thinking about.
All right, Jesse, we're going to wrap it up here for the radio, but we are going to continue our discussion, and I will post the full interview on our website under the weekend show posting. Jesse and I are going to look at some of the other markets, talk about that move into passive investing that we've seen over the years now, over a decade now, but also discuss how investors can find value in some of the other sectors. So everyone, come visit our website, kereport.com, click on that weekend show posting, and listen to the full segment with Jesse and some of the other segments later on this show that are running a bit longer than we are allocated for the weekend show time.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrophies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. Exclusions apply.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text DO11 to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over a million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount, text DO11 to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's DO11 to 350350.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Oh, welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation with Jesse Felder. Next on deck here is Rick Bensignor, founder and editor of Bensignor Investment Strategies, becoming a very good guest for our show in a general sense, talking about a wide range of markets and really taking the emotion out of, I know, the way some traders look at the markets. Rick, let's start off with the U.S. equity markets and more specifically the S&P. The S&P is close to all-time highs, but you know what? It has been a pretty constructive year when you look at the higher lows that the S&P has put in, but still the inability to break to substantial new highs, especially in that recent September high. What do you think? Well, how is the market setting up? Is this turning into simply a range-bound trade where we're going to bump our head up against some of these all-time highs?
Well, hi, Corey. It's a good question, and it's something that we've been addressing with clients both on the institutional side as well as through In the Know Trader, which is our retail newsletter. And what I've been telling our subscribers is that anything north of S&P 3000, given the way the charts and models we use line up right now, implies far too much risk to first be adding new longs up here in any names that are near their highs of the year. So I am willing to buy some beaten down names and some things that are breaking out from prior lower levels. But anything that's near its high, and certainly people who are trading spiders, I mean, look, you can day trade them, you can be in and out quick, but I am not putting on real trades and investable dollars into the market right here. And not doing so for the next 2% higher. So even if we take out the 3028 level in the S&P, and of course you'll have the media all over that saying, you know, push to new highs, da 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 da. To us, you have to get above 3064, and you have to do so on a Friday close and properly. So it's not just hurdling it, but it's how you hurdle it. Before I'm going to put new capital to work in simply buying spiders or anything near its highs. So in the scheme of things, we're 11 years into a rally. It's very impressive that the S&P is less than 1% from all-time highs. But that being said, given the economic and political news out there combined with our model suggesting exhaustion of upside trend, this is just not the time or place for us to be putting new money to work in the market. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have plenty of market, plenty of long exposure from lower levels in the market. We do. We've been buyers almost the entire year, but S&P 3000 is not a place I'm going to be adding.
So how concerned are you, Rick, that we could see some sort of a more significant drop in the markets? A lot of people are pointing to a 2020 recession, but in all fairness, sometimes markets, or a lot of the time, markets look ahead. Do you are we at risk of a bigger quick drop for the S&P?
Well, look, it's certainly possible to do a little ribbing. 10 out of every 7 economists, you know, are calling for a recession next year. And what I mean by that, again, jokingly, is that, you know, economists say a recession is coming. Plenty of portfolio managers are reducing long exposure up here, and given the signals we're seeing, I don't disagree that that's something that you can intelligently do. What's it going to take for us to really get much more defensive on the market? We're going to have to break underneath somewhere in approximately, I'll give you about a 1% level from roughly 2910 to, let's say, 2870, give or take that 40-point range or so. Is the zone that we're going to use. And if we get beneath there, and again, it's not just breaking beneath there, it's how it breaks beneath, then we're going to exit our longs and fully hedge up books and look for more substantial decline with an initial target of higher than 2794, but quite potentially to test that double bottom around 27.25 that we saw earlier this year and possibly even lower. So that zone has worked for us very well. It's kept our clients in the market when many others puked out in August. And again, we traded beneath that zone, but we didn't do it in the proper way that we look for it for levels to break, and therefore that kept us long the market. And so here we are, 1% from all-time highs and still having our long exposure on. I just don't want to be putting more in.
Now, what about how this is relating also to the bond market and interest rates? We have seen a general bounce in interest rates, even a slight steepening of the yield curve, 10-year trading about 1.76% as we're recording this. So it has bounced off the lows of just below 1.5% back in early September, but in no way has it really broken the general downtrend that they're in.
No, it has not. And so I'm in the camp that the lows we saw basically September 1st are going to be the lows for the balance of the year. And I've been saying that since then. So them being at around 176, as you say, is still, I don't know, 30 basis points or so higher. But that's what our call has been for the last couple of months. What we need to see at this point is, firstly, to get above 1.79 or so. We've got some tops there recently. It also happens to be the top resistance level from one of the models we use, so I know that I'm going to want to see us push through that. And then the next target, so we peaked at 1.9 in the middle of September after bouncing off of those lows for the year, so then we'd have to get through 1.9. But I think there's a chance, and if this happens between now and year's end, it's going to ruffle a lot of feathers on the street. If we get above 2%, my kind of target here right now these days is 2 to 2.07%, and that's what we're playing for with some bond ETFs that we have in place. We actually have some inverse bond holdings on the ticker. We're longest TBF, Tom Boy Frank, and that actually moves inversely to the 10-year bond and essentially tracks the yields. So if you're long that, you're looking for yields to go higher. And I think that there's so many people positioned still in the marketplace for bonds to go significantly, for bond yields to go significantly lower, that if we get above 2%, you're going to have a lot of people flustered who bought bonds that are now kind of well against them over the last, we'll say, 4 months. And that's going to that could spook things as we go into year's end. So I'm actually playing for that to potentially happen. I don't have to risk much on this trade. In fact, we got in pretty well into TBF. So we've got some cushion room here. And the more the stock market doesn't get a material sell-off, the better the chance that yields can actually move higher.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up for this radio segment here, Rick. But you know what? I'm having you back on next segment, and we're going to continue our discussion, but more focused on some of the other markets where you see opportunities. These include emerging markets, even the precious metals.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
U.S. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A federal judge has ruled that the impeachment inquiry is legal. It's a victory for House Democrats, who are now allowed to see grand jury evidence from the Russia investigation. The White House is looking to bolster its impeachment communication staff. President Trump said he doesn't need any help.
I don't have teams. Everyone's talking about teams. I'm the team. I did nothing wrong.
And in possible good news for the president, the Justice Department has opened a criminal investigation in how its own probe of Russian election interference began in 2016. That gives the prosecutor greater powers and the ability to file criminal charges. The president says deep state officials wanted to prevent his election. Democrats are also negotiating with former National Security Advisor John Bolton to testify. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Hi, this is George Norrie. I'll be in the Chicago area October 25th and 26th for the Health Freedom Expo. It's going to be an incredible weekend of lectures, workshops, and exhibits with leading experts and the newest products in natural and alternative medicine. Joint speakers Jeffrey Smith, Lisa Oz, Patch Adams, Ocean Robbins, and Doc Wallach. And get your tickets today at TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com. You have a right to a naturally vibrant and healthy life. That's TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com or call 1-888-658-3976.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor. Now, Rick, we ended the last segment chatting about the U.S. equity markets. Let's shift focus a little bit into some of the markets that some which have started running, but others that are still just generally unloved. I've been talking a lot about emerging markets, especially as the U.S. dollar has been moving down, but quite frankly, it's just such a hated sector. But if, let's say, the global economy starts to get back on track, maybe we get a couple of trade wars settled here. Is there an opportunity that you're seeing in the EM space?
There actually is, Corey. 2 weeks ago, for in the note trader clients, we went long EEM, which is the most commonly traded emerging market ETF. So, yes, I actually was probing. We got a position on. I am looking for EM to move higher. Certainly, it's been a hated space, and with some dollar weakness that we've seen, too. If you look at the dollar, last week, I think it was, it kind of got crushed. And it's still within its trading range, but, you know, it's fallen off. The dollar index went from above 99 to the lower 97s, and that's a fairly significant move, not enough to change the whole ballgame. But the dollar's been in a long-term uptrend for well over a year, probably 18 months or so since it bottomed and moved higher, and it still has a positively sloped channel to it, so nothing's broken down. But if the top is in place for the dollar, at least near term, the U.S. equities, at least through the S&P, are near all-time highs, then it's not a surprise at all to start seeing EM start getting a bid for, and that's what we are seeing.
Okay, let's also talk about the precious metals. I've been reading over your stuff, and I know that you are looking positively at the precious metals, gold in particular. It has had a little bit of a sell-off, still a debate out there whether it needs to sell off more, but the fact of the matter is it's been fairly strong, right in around this $1,500 level, give or take about $20. What's your assessment of gold, where it stands?
So shorter term, I'm looking at December futures right now as we record. They're at about 1505. Short term, I expect them to get up to 1520, 1525. We did hold where it needed to hold on the downside, which was 1488 as of recent. Today you've got a $10 up move. Silver's up over 20 cents today. That also held near where it needed to, around 17 and a half. And got the pop today. So shorter term, you know, we're still in a trading range. The high end gold is, I think, front month futures got to 1566. So we still have $60 or so to go before it would break out to new highs of this move. But in the bigger picture, there's two things to look at. One is the initial target we had on the upside for gold when I got clients long gold back in April at 1295 was 1487 to 1532. That was our target, and that's the range we got out in. So I only recently put some on from a trading perspective. The other one was really more as an investment idea. So now we're long gold, but we'll trade it. Ultimately, however, let's look at the big picture in gold. This summer, it broke out from a six-year trading range that pretty much was capped, let's use round numbers, of $1,375 per ounce on the upside. And the low back in December of 2015 was just shy of $1,050, but we'll use $1,050 in round numbers. So you're talking about a $325 range that it had traded in for 6 years. It breaks out this summer to the upside in a big way. Funds got long. Hedgers were actually short. And funds at this point are actually doing better than the hedgers because they're still funds are quite net long. Hedgers are net short. And hedgers haven't really had a big chance to be able to cover for what they've been selling. However, let's take that $325 range on top of the breakout point of $1,375. That equals $1,700. And that's my target for gold, and I know some people are talking about $2,000 gold and $3,000 gold, and maybe yes, maybe no. I'll decide at some future point, but in the bigger picture, I think gold does find its way to $1,700. So any material pullbacks in gold in the next several months, even potentially the next year, if we got down to the low 1400s, bring it on. I'd love to put on a bigger, longer position from down there. But nonetheless, I still have some position on now to play for an up move if it comes. What I don't see is any particular reason why gold would break back down under 1375, where it broke out from. There's enough nonsense going on in the world that I just don't see that happening any longer. So, the risk reward is on the plus side for gold, and the lower you can buy it on any subsequent pullback, the less you need to risk. And, again, I don't see any reason we'd get back under 1375.
Okay, so very much trading it like a bull market, a longer-term bull market, buying those dips and paying attention to some of those recent breakout levels. Just a general comment, though, because when gold really did start to move, tail end of last year, and especially into this year when it finally broke out above that, 1375, let's call it that, it's a lot on the back of the central banks, especially the Fed switching course, cutting rates, and now they even have a general balance sheet expansion program going on that they're not calling QE, but sounds like QE. Is
sure.
One of the main fundamental drivers behind this move for gold?
Look, it doesn't hurt to have lower interest rates because gold is a non-returning asset. There's no yield to it. There's no dividend like stocks. The only way you make money in gold is to buy it at a lower price than you sell it for. There's no other kickback or anything besides the actual price of the bullion itself. Low interest rates is a plus for gold because it becomes less of a competition for investable dollars. When yields are higher, you can buy a bond, you have the chance for price appreciation, plus you get your coupon. When you buy gold, you get nothing. So when yields are up, it's tough for people to really like gold because at least in other investments, you get some type of return. When yields are real low like they've been, people don't really care. Now owning a bond doesn't have nearly as much good reason to do so, which in many people's minds makes gold more attractive because now you're not giving up yield or something, a dividend payment when you're buying gold. Because yields are so low. So the fact that yields are down is a plus for gold. It also lowers the cost of carry in general. So when you look at futures markets and how futures markets are normally priced, where the farther out you go in the futures curve, typically the higher they price they are, that's called contango. But when yields, when the price to store the gold and assay the gold, and in this case interest rates are lower, it makes the cost of carry less. So low interest rates is good for gold, but I think that's just one of the stories here. I don't think it's the main story. I think the world being in a rather critical and precarious place that it is, kind of more discord than we've seen, not just in the U.S. and not such, you know, a divisive country here, but in so many places across the globe, you're seeing more upheaval and more left versus right with very hard lines drawn. And that instability is a plus for gold.
So it's kind of that combination, low interest rates and also this fear trade that we have seen in the markets. It's why I think we've seen gold and the U.S. dollar move up together and bonds also moving very much in unison with the precious metals. Investors, rightfully so, they are looking at protecting some of the money that they've made over that long bull market. And again, that's why a lot of these recessionary comments are also creeping into the overall narrative. Rick, thanks for your time. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too, Corey. Thanks so much.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNlife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNlife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNlife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Extend your life with Extendover. Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendivite. I have been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also, I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
All right, welcome back. Here we are wrapping up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to be focusing more on the resource sector with who's becoming a good friend of the show, Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Now, Matt, let's get right into some of the topics we're going to discuss because we have a lot to cover in this final segment. First and foremost, looking at currencies, more particularly the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar has been pulling back over the last month or so, peaked out at the tail end of September, right around 99, just over 99 on the dollar index, and has moved down below, well, peaked its head briefly below 97 before slightly recovering at the tail end of this week. The dollar and gold have very much been moving in unison, but I know all gold bugs, precious metals investors, understand that if the dollar goes through any sort of a significant decline, that can really be a boost for the precious metals. Let's get your comments. One, how sustainable is this downtrend for the dollar, and what impacts will it have on the metals?
Thanks for having me on again, Corey. The U.S. dollar has absolutely weakened over the past 3 weeks, and you quoted that can be seen most easily through the DXY, which has fallen pretty sharply from its all-time highs around 99.5 down to the 97 range we're at right now. This move has coincided with the Federal Reserve announcing that QE4 had begun, even though they're not calling it QE4. The Fed is going to start buying $60 billion in treasuries per month. At least that was their original announcement. And just in the past couple of days, this has been bumped up to $120 billion in treasury purchases on a monthly basis. This announcement seems to have caught the market by surprise, though some Fed watchers that I follow, including Danielle DiMartino Booth, have been predicting the resumption of quantitative easing for months now. So I think those that were following this closely weren't as surprised as the general market. The impact, of course, has been the sharp drop in the U.S. dollar. I personally don't think I want to make a call on whether this move is sustainable or not. I think it's too early to say. I will say that if it does continue, it should be very good for the base metal and energy metal complexes, which are linked to global economic growth. The strong USD over the past 2 to 3 years, in my mind, has been slowly strangling both foreign businesses and foreign governments with large US dollar denominated debt loads. As the strengthening dollar makes it harder and harder to service debt using the local currency. Obviously, if the dollar goes the other direction, the inverse is true. And this makes more money available for capital investments in the case of foreign companies and more money available for stimulus in the case of foreign governments. So it's no coincidence, at least in my mind, that this fall in the U.S. dollar over the past 3 weeks has coincided with a rise in the price of industrial metals such as zinc and copper and iron ore, which have strengthened considerably since early October. So it will be really interesting to see if this trend continues. It's something I'm watching, but I haven't picked a position yet. I do think it's safe to say that the dollar is in a long-term uptrend. So I haven't seen that fully broken down yet, but it's possible that will occur in the coming few weeks.
Yeah, that's a key distinction right there, is that this uptrend that the dollar has been in ever since really early part of 2018 is still intact. The dollar is just testing out the lower range of that uptrend. Also, some other considerations is that the pound and even the euro had started to strengthen on the back of a assumed, or maybe, I guess that's a better part of putting it, a Brexit deal that is still very much up in the air. So you always need to compare the dollar to the other currencies in that basket of currencies. But overall, we have seen a little bit of a rebound in some of those base metals, industrial metals, which, you know, could also go with a little bit more global clarity. That being said, let's look a bit more at the actual metal sector. When it comes to stocks, a lot of people are saying we are right around the corner from tax loss selling, and the way that some of the juniors have performed, even some of the mid-tiers, there are still some tax losses that can be booked on the back of a couple stocks doing better, especially the ones that had a bounce early in the year. How are you positioning your fund for the potential and likelihood of tax loss selling right around the corner?
Sure. So as I mentioned in our last discussion, our precious metal exposure in the fund on a weighted basis rose from around 25% at the beginning of 2019, all the way up to 50% and a little bit above that as recently as August. This was due primarily just to the outperformance we've seen amongst our gold and silver equity holdings within the fund, as well as some placements that we participated in the spring and in early summer. I'm happy with this 50% weighted allocation to precious metals, but I really don't want to see it go much higher. Therefore, in August, and I think I've mentioned this on a previous discussion of ours, I decided that we were going to not consider adding any new gold or silver positions to the portfolio until 2020 at the very earliest. So I'm on a bit of a moratorium, at least for the next few months here, in terms of new gold and silver picks. What I'm doing instead is fortifying our existing base and energy metal positions. And right now at the moment, I have about 10, maybe 12 limit orders in for existing holdings of ours, between 10 to 20% below the current market price. As we head into tax loss season, as you mentioned, I do expect maybe a third or a quarter of these limit orders to ultimately be filled, which is plenty fine with me. And then I think we'll see these energy and base metal positions rally into the beginning of next year. Whether that move is sustainable remains to be seen. Obviously, the U.S. dollar is a big variable there, as is any resolution to the U.S.-China trade dispute. So that's the plan at the moment. Continue to average down in our core energy and base metal positions. Happy with precious metal exposure for the moment, but not looking to add anything new in that space until early next year.
Let's also talk about the lack there of M&A in especially the precious metals, but really in the resource sector overall. I had an interesting conversation last week with Adrian Day that discussed what might be holding back some of this M&A. A lot of people still looking to some of these majors that consolidated, I believe it was last year, and are still working through figuring out what their non-core assets are. Fact of the matter is, though, we're not really seeing much M&A, and the M&A that we're seeing continues to disappoint the market. What do you think it's going to take for a pickup to drive M&A for the sector?
Sure. I think I'll separate this into kind of two different discussions. The first is the Aussie producers. And I do believe that they will continue opportunistic acquisitions of North American assets. They've been cautious and not over-exuberant, which I think is smart, really picking their spots. But recent examples include St. Barbara's acquisition of Atlantic Gold's Moose River asset in Newfoundland, Northern Star's purchase of the Pogo mine in Alaska from Sumitomo late last year, and then Newcrest's purchase of Red Chris, or 70% of Red Chris, just this past spring. So I do expect this quote-unquote Aussie takeover to continue at a moderate pace. As I've mentioned before, Kirkland Lake seems destined to use what I view as its expensive paper to make a North American acquisition sooner rather than later. I've speculated that Pretium and Fonterra are probably the two most obvious targets, but that remains to be seen. Now, shifting to the North American miners consolidating within North America, I don't expect we'll see the next wave of acquisitions to begin until we really see the GDXJ and the GDX make its next leg higher in this precious metals bull market. One thing that's very different about this precious metal bull market compared to all past ones is the rise of passive investing and the importance of ETFs in the market. It is a huge advantage for these companies to be included in either the GDX or the GDXJ. If you look at two identical companies, one on the GDXJ and one not, these companies will have huge discrepancies in their cost of capital. And so in my mind, once these indices do make their next leg higher, you know, whether that's this month or in a year, we will see companies within these ETFs begin taking out their higher quality peers that are excluded from the ETFs. So I think this is the next big catalyst for us to see increased M&A within North America.
All right. Hey, Matt, interesting comments. We covered a lot in this segment, and I hope everybody listened closely because there is some good advice there and just good thoughts on the general market in terms of what could be ahead of us. This does wrap up our first hour. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and with all the emails and comments that we get throughout the week, please, everyone, listen to those company updates and let me know what you think of all the companies that I try to bring on and share their information with all of you, the active investors out there. Matt, everyone else, have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.